Okay. Well, welcome everyone. You are in the Sunday school class series known as the Pursuit of Excellence. Last week we considered the third key to pursuing excellence, which was avoiding the mentality that settles for less in this life rather than the pursuit of the more that God offers. And before we go any further, let's go ahead and open in prayer, and we will dive into the study today. Father, we thank You for Your working in our lives. We thank You that You love us and love us enough to save us, and beyond that, grow us into the likeness of Your Son's image. We thank You, Lord, that You give us Your Word and that it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we pray that we would see that power today as we deal with different aspects of the truth found in Your Word this morning. And Lord, may it have its effectual work in the hearts of everyone here today. Pray, Lord, that You would give me clarity of thought and speech. Pray, Lord, that I would just get out of the way and that You would speak to each and every person here. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that mentality, that settling for less mentality, we talked about how, just as a reminder, how we all have our comfort zones. Comfort zones that we would prefer to stay in, but that God, in His love and His mercy, does not want us to just stay stagnant in our relationship with Him, nor does He want us to stay put where we are spiritually as we interact with other people. And we discussed a little bit about the different fears and the anxieties that we may have when thinking about taking the next spiritual steps that will remove us from our comfort zones. And I'll just list a few of the ones that you guys talked to me about, and the ones that I put down. That the fear of the unknown can cause us to stay in our comfort zones. The fear of failure can cause us to stay there. Fear of looking foolish. The fear of not doing it correctly or maybe the best way possible. The fear of feeling awkward. The fear of people. All these things and perhaps others can cause us to stay in our comfort zone spiritually. Towards the end of last Sunday school class, we talked about how we all have stepped out of our comfort zones for one reason or another. And we discussed that just if you're here and you drove here or you have a driver's license, whenever that took place for you in your life, you had to step out of your comfort zone to do that. There was a driving test, a written test. Perhaps if you're a little bit younger, like around my age, you had to log a certain amount of hours on the road before you were even qualified to get a driver's license. What the difference is we will get out of our comfort zones if we consider the outcome valuable enough to us. The other thing, and the neat thing is, when we consider the truth about just thinking about driving and how we do it now, I think we have many experienced drivers sitting with us today, except one. Sorry, Timmy. You'll get there. Don't worry. When you step into a car now, do you still feel awkward? Do you still feel uncomfortable like you did maybe that first time you did it? No, with practice, now maybe around here, with the way some people drive, maybe you do, and that's fine. Every illustration breaks down to some degree. But the reality is you have the coordination down, right? You know when to apply the gas pedal. You know how much to turn when you're going to turn. You know how much pressure to put on the brakes when you want to slow down. There is a reasonable amount of comfort when you are driving a vehicle. And the truth is, it's the same with any area in our life. Yes, initially when we step out of our comfort zones, there's discomfort. There's maybe a level of awkwardness. But with practice and with experience, that discomfort level slowly fades away and it becomes normal. Well, those fears that we mentioned, fear of the unknown, fear of failure, looking foolish, and so forth, if we have any of those fears concerning a particular area of our lives, because remember, the truth is, God is calling us to take spiritual steps. It says in Philippians 2 that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in us both to do and to will of His good pleasure. So He is at work in us to grow us spiritually. And if that's the case, then He is calling us to take spiritual steps. Steps that will take us out of our comfort zone. If we have fears, and we ended last time, I should say this, we ended last time with specifically asking each and every one of us, what is God pinpointing in our lives? What is God pressing on our spirit to do next for Him? Perhaps it revolves around being a better father, husband, wife, mother, co-worker, boss, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a better being more involved in the church here or in another ministry. Whatever it might be, what is God pressing upon you? And maybe what perhaps are you resisting right now? If we have fears concerning any one of those particular areas that God is pressing upon us, what they reveal to us, what those fears reveal to us, is that we have a misplaced trust and dependency when it comes to that area. And that brings us to our fourth key. We've talked about three keys so far in the pursuit of excellence. This is our fourth key. Fourth key to the pursuit of excellence avoids living in independence or autonomy from God and chooses a life of dependency on Him. The pursuit of excellence avoids living in autonomy or independence from God and chooses a life of dependency on Him. When we look at people, different characters in the Bible, they really fall into two categories. They are either people that are living in dependence on God, or they are living independently from Him, apart from Him, in rebellion against Him. Generally speaking, when you read through the Scriptures, the people fall into one of those two camps. I'd like to ask you, what comes to mind? Who comes to mind when we think of people that lived independently from God? Yeah.
I think also that depending on our stage of life, we have independence and independence. I think of David. David was obviously dependent on God, but there were moments in his life where he was living independent.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, and the people that you might be thinking about aren't necessarily they didn't live their whole life that way, because neither do we, right? The Scriptures sometimes give us these heroes of the faith, you might call them, but the Bible shows all of their weaknesses and their struggles also, their sins as well. You know, when we think of independence, living independently, we automatically, I think, in our mindset, we think good, right? And we have a 4th of July where we celebrate our independence. So when we are thinking about independence in that way, independent from a governing body or an empire, so to speak, yeah, that's good, okay. But when we're thinking about living independently from God, well, that's a whole different story. Who else comes to mind that lived independently from God at one time or another, or maybe their whole life was marked by that? Okay. Yeah. Certainly. How did he live independently from God?
He just got mad and rebelled.
Yeah. What was the motive behind that?
Pride.
Pride. Anybody else?
Cain.
Cain, you said? Okay. How did Cain live independently from God? Mm-hmm. He did things his way more so than God's way, didn't he? Who else?
Well, the whole nation of Israel at times and judges, and said they did that which was right in their own eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly you could point to Israel as a whole as an example for that, yes. Anyone else that comes to your mind? Here are a few people that I thought of. One that I thought of was Jacob. Jacob lived in a way that he really believed that his way was better than the way that God had planned for him. I mean, it was told from the very beginning, was it not, that the elder would serve the younger? That was what God explained to Jacob's mother. She was confused as to what was taking place. There was this kind of fight going on. And God explained it to her. So it was said outright that this is going to go different from how your culture operates. Usually the eldest son was going to be dominant and superior in receiving the blessing, receiving inheritance, all of that. And in this case, God said it would be different. And yet Jacob, through the influence of his mother, decided to take his birthright his own way. And step ahead of God. And because of that, he was basically banished from his household. He was banished from his family. He was a manipulator. He was a schemer. And it didn't stop. Even when he got to his relatives. And then he got a dose of his own medicine, didn't he? With Laban, switching his daughters as to who he was going to marry. So Jacob, you know, when we think of Jacob, the lesson we can really, really learn from him is no matter how wise we think we are, if our way goes contrary to God's way, then we are living a life that is independent from him. And another individual that I thought of was Samson. Samson was greatly used of God to fight off and defeat what might be considered Israel's arch enemy, the people that just kept showing up over and over again to give Israel problems, the Philistines. And God, through His Spirit, gave Samson just superhuman strength to do feats that no living person could really do. But you know what happened? In Samson's life, he believed that his strength really didn't come from God. When you look at had it here. When you look at the different things that he says, especially towards the end, when Delilah has finally gotten him to say what the source of his strength is, he only says that it's his hair. He doesn't say that it's God giving him the strength, which is an interesting thing to think about. I'm almost there. The pride in his heart causes him to say this after his hair is cut. There it is. Sorry about that. I thought I had it copied and pasted here, but apparently I did not. She said to Samson, Delilah said to Samson, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, and listen to this, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself free. And he wist not, or he did not know, that the Lord had departed from him. He did not acknowledge that his strength came from God himself. And he thought, I can just go out and do it just like I did every time before. That gate that I moved, that was me. Those foxes that I caught and tied together and all that, that was me." You know, a life of dependence recognizes that all we are able to do does not come from our own strength, but it comes from God who gives us that ability. Another individual I thought of was Jonah. Jonah lived questioning God's choice of showing mercy, right? Because what's the whole story about? Well, it's really about the Ninevites and God's plan that he had for them. And he chose to have Jonah go over there and warn them that God's judgment was coming. And what does Jonah do? He doesn't even want to go there. In fact, he's so convinced in his mind about what he wants to do that he takes a ship and boards it and goes completely the other direction. So, obviously that didn't work out well for him. God prepared a fish and swallowed him, and he was in there for 3 days. But we find out at the end of the book of Jonah that the whole reason he didn't want to go was because he believed, he knew that God was a God of mercy, and that if the Ninevites genuinely repented, that God was going to not judge them. And Jonah wanted God to judge them because they were a wicked people. They were a terrible people. They did terrible things to other human beings. And Jonah wanted to see them judged. And Jonah really didn't want to be the instrument of their salvation. Jonah questioned God's choice of showing mercy, and this really caused him to live independently from God's plan. You know, the lesson we can really learn from God is that dependence, a life of dependence, trusts God's plan for humanity. And personally, when we have that kind of dependence on God, we accept the role that we have to play in the salvation of others, regardless of who they are. Do you ever see some people and think about some people and say, wow, they would never become a Christian? Maybe you have someone in your mind right now who's really rough around the edges. They're not the nicest people to be around, maybe even. And you'd say, there is no way that they could be saved. Well, quite frankly, that's not our role. That's not a position we're able to take. Because God's power to save transcends any type of human being with any background, with any sin in their lives. And we're not anybody to determine who can be saved and who cannot be saved. You know what our role is? Our role is to give the gospel. Our role is to present the truth to them. And if we're given the opportunity, to live the truth in front of them and let God do the saving. Because He's the one that can save, not us. So we, Life of Dependence, trust God's plan for humanity, and we accept the role that we have to play in the salvation of others. These are all marks of a mentality of independence from God. And you know what? When we talk about sin and the sin nature that's in all of us, we naturally want to live independently from God, do we not? It's part of that rebellious nature that's in us. You know, one huge mark of the independent lifestyle, living independently from God, is to live life as though He does not exist. What does that mean? What do I mean by that? Well, there are people, there are Christians that would say, yes, I believe in God. But what practical application does that have on their lives? See, there are people, there are Christians that would ascribe to a belief in God, but live as though He doesn't exist. And when that takes place, they are living in practical atheism. Is it possible to live, for a Christian to live as a practical atheist? Yes. Absolutely. Now that's a scary thought, isn't it? Hopefully, within all of us, we say, boy, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that person. That's so hypocritical, right? More and more, as perhaps, maybe you've seen this, maybe you've seen the bent in your own life as I have in mine. It is so easy to go through a week to do the things that I'm supposed to do and not acknowledge God in any of it. Or not include Him in any of it. More and more, Christians, at least I think in this culture, live in practical atheism. They are practical atheists. Folks, there is no room within the pursuit of excellence for practical atheism. There is no room within the pursuit of excellence for a Christian for practical atheism. We will be discussing here living dependent on God in two general areas. Today we will discuss the one, and Lord willing, we'll get to the second one next week. So this particular key to pursuing excellence will be this Sunday school class and the next one as well. So here are the two general areas that we will be talking about, and I just basically introduced the first one. The first general area is that we will need to recognize that we need God in all areas of life. We need to include Him in all areas of our lives, even in the mundane and less interesting parts. The second one that we'll get to next week is that we need God especially as we get out of our comfort zones and take those spiritual steps that God is pressing upon us to take. So that first one, we need to recognize that a life of dependence will be marked by a mentality that needs God in every area of our lives, even in the mundane and less interesting parts. How much do we do in a day that doesn't involve God where He should be included? How much do we do in a day that doesn't involve God where He should be included? Well, maybe you're thinking, how do I include God in the mundane acts of life? I mean, they're just, you know, I do just regular things of regular people every day. I have to put gas in my car. I have to watch that needle go down and put more in it. And needle goes down and put more in it. I mean, I have to go to work every day. I have to deal with these kids every day. I'm busy. How do I include God in these just regular events of my life? Well, I'd ask this in return. Does God have anything to say about those mundane acts? Are there any principles and truths from Scripture that would be a part of those mundane acts? If He does, then quite frankly, folks, the first task or the first act in including God in the regular activities of a day is simply asking for His help. Asking for His help in that responsibility or that task or that role that you have is the right start in including Him. Because listen, if any of us think that we don't need Him to be a better worker, a better student, husband, father, mother, wife, sister, or a brother, servant in the church, if we don't think we need Him to be a better any one of those, then we have the marks of living independently from Him. Because having the dependent mindset that the pursuit of excellence really calls us to, that God really calls us to, recognizes the real weaknesses that we have in those areas. Having a mindset that is dependent upon God, when we are there, when we're really there, we recognize that even in the mundane and the normal activities of life, we recognize our shortcomings. And it compels us to call on God for His aid. You know, as I was going through this section, my mind went to just probably around a year ago, somewhere around there. It wasn't that long ago that I started to realize my own deficiencies in just about every area of life. Quite frankly, those things that I believed that I had a pretty good grasp on, it wasn't good enough. And from that day forward, from that point forward, I have begun most of my days and often continue through the day praying to God to help me with the responsibilities and the roles that He has given me. One of the reasons that really compels me to do that is that more and more I am really realizing how high the stakes are. I mean, if we're not careful or if we're just neutral about things, we can just sort of say it doesn't really matter how I live my life or how well I do things. But the truth is, as I look at the people who depend on me, as I look at the different responsibilities that I have, if I fail in minor or major ways, if I fail in my responsibilities, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, the repercussions could be devastating. What will happen? These are the thoughts that I have in my own life. What will happen if I am not the servant God calls me to be, the husband and father that I'm called to be? What if I'm not the employee and the friend that I'm called to be? What if I'm not the brother in Christ that I'm called to be? What part of God's plan will I miss because I didn't live with a dependency on Him? I recognize my household's future is on the line. People that need to be discipled are on the line. Unbelievers' eternal destinies hang in the balance. more and more I am coming to the conclusion that I really cannot undervalue the roles and responsibilities that God has placed before me. These aren't necessarily things that I can just pick and choose what I want to do. No, these are stewardships that God has given to me. You know, I think this is in contrast to many believers' approach to their own tasks and responsibilities. I think many go through life or approach life with a "I just got to keep doing what I got to do" mentality, and it doesn't really matter how well I do any of it. My friends, that is a tremendous lie that none of us can afford to believe. We can't afford to buy into the lie that it really doesn't matter how we do. You know, I think it's a product of our culture. There really is a mentality in these United States that perhaps has its root in Darwinian evolution and other things, that we're all just here by random chance, and the things that we're doing really have no value. There is no destiny or purpose. So the things that we're involved in mean nothing. We're just living life through the natural course that we happen to be living in right now. Folks, that's not it. The tasks that you and I are involved in, we really need to consider them as a gift from God. They are a gift from God to grow us and mature us spiritually. And when God is doing that in our lives, then ultimately what will happen next is we will have an influence on the particular people that are in our lives. Your children, your friends, your co-workers. Those are people that you have the opportunity to impact. I don't. I know people that you don't know. I interact with people that you don't know. I have a responsibility to help them, to influence them with the truth of God's Word and the Gospel. Whether that means discipling them as they are believers already, or, Lord willing, and hopefully one day, seeing them come to Christ themselves as the result of hearing the Gospel. That's a gift from God. Do you see some of the weight behind our quote-unquote mundane tasks and responsibilities of everyday life? You know, when we see the weight, when we see the stakes and how high they are, and we actually have a desire and we want to pursue excellence in the Christian life, that will cause us to want to be dependent on God, because we're going to see how deficient and how we do not measure up in so many of these areas. The pursuit of excellence really requires us to be dependent on God in every single area of our lives. There aren't these different segments, okay, to life, where this is my God-focused area of life, and over here, no, this is mine. This is mine over here, okay? And that can be very easily done. You know, we all have interests and hobbies that perhaps don't include other people and don't necessarily include God. But that doesn't mean that they are exclusive. You know, I like to mountain bike. There isn't necessarily anything particularly spiritual about mountain biking. There's a physical benefit, right? But you know what I try to do? I try to get other people to come with me. My brother is one that comes with me often, and he's someone that I can impact and have an influence on. So on the ride there, during the ride and on the way back, I have a captive audience that I can talk to him about stuff. When when I'm by myself, I can still enjoy God's creation and see the majesty and you know, the different seasons that I go to the trails and such. I'm just in awe of the trees and the wildlife and the different things that God has done. My soul can rejoice in the power of God, as silly as it may sound, through mountain biking. You see, I can include God in just about every area of my life. Now, when I pulled my socks on this morning, you know, perhaps that's where we can say, okay, don't get ridiculous. Don't be silly. But the truth is, God can be a part of every minute of our lives. And I believe the relationship that He offers us means that He wants that. He doesn't want us to exclude Him from the things that we believe that are regular and mundane, and that we can't just assume that He doesn't care about, because I believe He does. As we finish up, and we'll get to the next general area of dependency upon God, as we wrap this up here, I would challenge you. I haven't done this yet in the Sunday school class. This is almost like homework. You don't have to necessarily view it that way. But perhaps just the conversation and the discussion that we had today will help you do this all by yourself. But I'd like to present this to you. As you go through this week and you go through the regular stuff, and you do the normal activities of every day, I would challenge you to be mindful of the parts that you include God, and be mindful of those parts in which you exclude Him. I'd encourage you to pray to Him to show you those areas in which you have unknowingly excluded Him. If you really take the time to think about it, if you really evaluate your life, when you go to work tomorrow, or when you get the kids ready for school tomorrow, or whatever it is you're doing, when you're there, you may be surprised about how much of your life is run by you alone, independently from God. So I'd encourage you to pray to God to show those areas in your life, and seek Him and ask Him to help you turn that around, to include Him in those tasks and general responsibilities of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are a God who loves us and who desires us to move past and go beyond where we would pick for ourselves to go. I thank You, Lord, that You aren't a God that just saves us and leaves us alone, but rather You have plans and tasks for us that we would never pick for ourselves. But in Your love and in Your guidance, You work in us to go beyond the barriers of our own lives, to live for a greater purpose and a greater kingdom than our own. Lord, we pray that You would help us as we seek to include You in all areas of our lives. And Lord, help us to be mindful of those areas in which we are excluding You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.